Stand by for Dutch Jones.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
Attention! It's an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Jackson's radio program.
And now for something completely different.
He could be on the alien control.
No, I want to squash all of those rumors. I am not under alien control. And neither is Lou, and neither is Stacy, and Debbie's over there. We moved the studio, but we still have a studio audience in the kitchen. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live from Central California, the little hamlet, little commonwealth known as Cahuilla, California. And we are reaching out to you right now from about 1,000 feet above sea level in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, right outside Sequoia National Park. It's a beautiful autumnal equinox day here. For those of you that don't speak weather language or geographical language, it is September 22nd, 2010. It is the equal, one of the equal days of the year. It's equal amount of day, equal amount of night. Autumnal equinox. I heard if you go stand an egghead on his head, he won't fall over or something on this day. I don't, maybe that only works on the equator. But I got to adjust my mic here. We moved the studio. And, oh, that's a big squeaky noise. We took it out of the back room, put it back into the front room for now. Just a little easier for us to set up and see what's going on and stuff like that. So we'll be working the bugs out of it. We do not have a phone, but that doesn't seem to matter because nobody seems to call. So I'm not giving out the phone number. If people want to call, I mean, there is a phone here, but it's not hooked up. Same number if there's an emergency, like if somebody from one of the networks or something that are picking us up. I see we've got a contingent in the chat room. I see Olima's in there, our staff archivist. Scotty38 rebroadcasting us over CB Channel 2 in the Finger Lakes region of New York State. Thank you very much for being there. Who else is there? We got a guest, and of course we have Stacy and the two Dutches. The two Dutches, the one with the asterisk is Lewis, right?
Yeah.
That's you? Are you sure that's you?
Yeah.
That hum you hear in the background is a linear amplifier that is broadcasting our FM. Make sure that everything's playing properly over there, Lou. We're back in the main studio with the main FM transmitter. Eventually, we're going to be transmitting FM also up here. That's always been our goal, so that's why we moved. Yep, everything's working good. Everything's doing great. Check the email. Didn't get a whole lot of email overnight. I guess you guys weren't that upset with things I had to say. We had a pretty big audience yesterday. But just not a lot of reaction. I guess either you guys are totally agreeing with me or you figure there ain't no way in the world you're going to change my mind, so you give up. Although I get the usual, I have the support staff for the Dutch Jones show, and I get there's probably 15 people that send me at least one or two things a day, that, and I appreciate that greatly. The you know, a lot of it's duplicated, but it's stuff that I need to get to. I just got several things today that are duplicated again, and I'm posting them up on Facebook. If you want to find a way to connect with us daily, go to Facebook, look for the Dutch Jones, just Dutch Jones, D-U-T-C-H-J-O-E-N-S, and send a friend request, and then that way we can connect with you. And I do a lot of my day. I've been busy lately, and people said, what, have you been sick? Where have you been? Well, we've been getting ready for the conference, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. We got some news about another added presenter. So I haven't been doing a lot on there, and I posted stuff on there. So when you send me stuff, I immediately cut and paste it and post it on... somebody's moving a chair in the background. That is not a train coming through the living room. I usually post it on Facebook and then start an ongoing debate, and that kind of tells me whether or not I should bring it up on the show. It's how I test it. I throw it out on the water and see what happens. And several of the articles get people mad. It's funny because we've got several different layers of people, or... I don't want to say layers. It sounds like some are better than others. But we have several different groups of people that listen to this show and partake in debate with me on a daily basis. And, you know, we've got the sovereign citizens types. We've got the neo-Nazi types. We've got, you know, rednecks, Southern Pride types. We've got a few Klansmen. We've got your mainstream patriot movement people. We've got your elite militia Christian type people. And it seems like the ones that give me the most trouble are the sovereign citizens. When I say trouble, I mean most debate. They always, you know, oh, yeah, you posted that, but it doesn't pertain to me because Congress can only make laws for the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and anything with a 13 in the number. You know, I don't know what it is. And I've been that route before. And I'm here to tell you, folks, Congress makes laws. They're tyrants. They don't care what the Constitution says. So it's funny when I posted something, and we're going to talk about Senate Bill 510, the bill that's going to make it illegal to grow, distribute, trade, share your own food. And I got that from Minuteman, and I think I got it from El Doctor, too, who's probably listening with Minuteman. But it's strange to me that whenever I post this stuff, there's always this group of sovereign law people, God bless them, you know, these guys say, oh, well, that doesn't pertain to me, you can't do anything. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm all for 100% pig-headed resistance sometimes, but when they pass a law that says, you know, all your children have to go to public school, they're going to come and get you eventually. So it's kind of like sticking, you know, something dangerous in a box, taping it up, and hoping it doesn't get out. You know, sure, you've done your legal stuff, you filed your paperwork, but you're going to have a boot on your neck just like the rest of us. So to use that as an excuse not to prepare, and to think, and this is going to get me some email, to think that you're going to go into court and win with that argument is false. It's all skewed against you. It's upside down, it's twisted, it's illegal, it's unjust, I know. But I just love it when I post stuff, like on this Senate Bill S-510, and I'm talking about this control, and everybody's like, oh, you can't. It doesn't pertain to me. We got a great guy at our church. He doesn't pay his property tax. They know where he is. Eventually, when the bill's big enough, they're going to come knocking. Now, payroll tax, I tell you not to pay it, you know, because it's easy to move around and live in a cash society or trade and barter. But if you've got a $500,000 home, eventually, tax man's going to come knocking. If you're annoying the local... What's the word I'm looking for here? The regulatory boards, the local magistrates, by building houses without permits, eventually the wrecking ball is going to come. The difference between my mindset and their mindset, you know, these sovereign people on the land, they say that they serve no one, that they're totally free, is that I realize that I'm under King Jesus, for one, and two, I'm also preparing for that day when they decide that they don't like what I'm doing. And it's kind of sad that people get into that mindset and sucked into it. I was listening last night on Coast to Coast with George Norrie, and there was a tax guy in there really pushing for the fair tax, you know, all that. No more employment tax, just sales tax and you know, and that stuff. And then somebody called up and said, well, isn't it true that income tax was never ratified anyway? And the guy goes, well, you know, I don't know about that and everything, because he had his thing. But I kind of agreed with him. It's like, you can sit and argue all day whether or not that amendment was ratified. It's not going to change one bit the bullet that's coming at you at 2,400 feet per second because you didn't want to pay your taxes. It's not going to change one bit when that armored vehicle comes through your baby's bedroom and injects tear gas into your home. The time for arguing this stuff on a legal basis is gone because it's not a fair playing field. It's like saying, we want to play rugby, and we want everybody to obey the rules, but the other team says, no, there is no rules, it's just modified smear the queer, and we're going to win. I mean, it's stupid to continue playing on that level, isn't it? So I always find it funny. So that's Dutch's pet peeve of the day, because I had some of those. I'm getting more of them now as I look on Facebook, I think. Let me take a look here. Let's see. Yeah, let's see. It's a specific guy who listens. Let's see here. Such a law is enforced. Okay, the person that's saying, I understand that too, but if such a law is enforced upon me, I'll show them where and how it doesn't apply. Their lack of jurisdiction is the key. Yeah. Good luck with that. I appreciate you listening to the show, but I won't give your name out because I'm kind of making funny and I don't want to embarrass you and make you madder at me. But I'm doing it in good jest, brother. I'm not trying to say you're an idiot or anything, but I've seen so many people that have been doing this their whole lives. I have an uncle that constantly did it, and he always ended up in jail, and he always ended up having his property seized. There are people here that are associated with the movement here in this area. And every time I see them, they got a different car. Because I'm like, what happened to your car? Oh, it got seized. Where's your motorcycle? It got seized. Why? I didn't put license plates on it. Oh, okay. Well, it's good that you know. I mean, and we do have victories. Maybe one in 20 times somebody says, yeah, I went to the judge and said, look, I don't need a driver's license. And I don't need a license plate. And they let me go. Because every once in a while, you might get a good judge. So maybe, you know, if it's kind of like training a dog. If you get one victory in 20, you know, oh, okay. But for me, I would rather focus my time on pointing out the unjustness of these laws and how they're going to apply them to us rather than saying, well, it doesn't make any difference because it's unconstitutional, they can't use it. How many unconstitutional laws are being enforced right now against us? Okay, that was funny. We lost audio for a second. I kicked the power switch. I apologize for that drop out there. But how many unconstitutional laws are being enforced every day? Seatbelt laws, child protection laws, gun laws. Everything past the Second Amendment is unconstitutional. Shall make no law. But yet, we all have to worry about them coming in and getting us when we don't have registered weapons in those states or buying from private parties in certain states. So being realistic about the tyranny does not mean we're giving in to the tyranny. Being realistic about just how evil the enemy is does not mean that we're surrendering. But we take countermeasures, but we have to be realistic. When you go into battle, the enemy is just as likely to put a bullet in your skull as you are to put in the enemy's skull. And to go into battle saying, well, they can't shoot at me because my cause is just, is a little foolish. And I'm sorry if I insult people with that, because I hate to always chase off more patriots. But you got to wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and smell the boot on your neck. Sitting there and handing them paperwork isn't going to do a whole lot of good anymore. And until we as a group of people understand that tyranny is tyranny is tyranny is tyranny, whether it's the local cop who likes to write speeding tickets when people aren't speeding or pull people over because he thinks they're going to weave, or it goes all the way up to Obongo trying to get us to believe that this health care bill is a great thing. We found out here in California, starting January 1st, Walmart is no longer going to sell ammo. So that's going to do a couple of things. That was the cheapest, best place to buy volume ammo after the crunch finally settled and they started resupplying. Pretty much you're going to have to go to gun shops to get ammo. And I'm telling you right now, these gun shops are no friends to patriots. I've met, I can't think of one, where they didn't exploit the shortage. And these guys in the gun shops, they'll scream and cry about Second Amendment rights and how great it is and how, but yet look at the prices they charge. When you look, the manufacturers were still pumping it out. It's just they use the scare. I'm not a big fan of FFLs. I'd rather buy my gun from a neighbor. But what's going to happen is Walmart here in California is going to stop selling ammo on January 1st. Those of you that don't know, starting in February of 2011, just a few months away, you're going to need to show an ID. There's going to be a limit, and they haven't decided. I heard it was anywhere from 50 to 200 rounds a month that you could buy. You have to give a thumbprint to buy ammo. I mean, it's all part of the plan of collecting. So, of course, what that's going to do is it's going to make us just go across state lines. We'll make one or two trips a year and buy in bulk. Because I'm not giving a thumbprint to buy a bullet. I refuse to give a thumbprint to buy a gun. Why would I give it to buy a bullet? It's just tightening of the noose, and people say, well, that's unconstitutional. They can't do it. Well, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And because only 3% of us in California give a darn, it's not going to change legally. It's just not. Period. I'm very realistic about the warfare that we're waging here. I don't want to give anybody false hope. Say, oh, well, maybe we'll win this in court, or maybe if we go vote for the right guy. Maybe if Ron Paul had gotten in, everything would just be nice. I have a feeling if Ron Paul had gotten in, he would have been shot within the first 3 months. That's just the way they do it. That's just the way it is. But that's my little diatribe there. I do want to share something else with you. Now, this falls into the line of unconfirmed intelligence from a good source. Unconfirmed intelligence from a good source. Now, it's not... It's one of those things that comes into my lap. People call in, and I can vouch for the source, but I'm not going to give it out because I don't want to burn this source, and I don't want to get anybody fired or in trouble. But a person who works for the FBI, who is involved in intelligence gathering for counterterrorism, has relayed that Europe is on like high alert. The FBI offices in Europe are on high alert for a, and I quote, 9/11 level attack on targets throughout Europe, multiple targets. And that everyone is on alert, their families are on lockdown, that kind of thing. Now, I got a call just before I went on the air from somebody, but I had also seen this on some forums where I was looking around about a week ago, that there's been this risk. Now, the terrorists don't think much different than regular folks do on the basics. Now, 9/11 was huge. But did it bring the economy to its knees for a couple of days? Did it strike fear into people's hearts? Maybe for a few days. Did it change the way we do things? Now, after a month or two, everybody went back to their same old sheepish attitude. So the control people, whether it be Muslims or the New World Order, are realizing that they have to do multiple hits. They have to hit multiple targets at once to collapse the European economy. Now, again, this is in Europe, which probably doesn't affect only about a handful of my listeners. But I'm just putting it out there to kind of test the waters, not to say, see, I told you so, but I would feel bad if I didn't pass it on to you. But it's unconfirmed. It's just, you know, chatter, as they say. But my fear, and the person that I spoke to on the phone about this, is that it could be false flag, it could be real, but it doesn't matter. It could be just another chance for them to tighten the noose, the cordon around our neck. You know, oh, here's one more thing we have to take rights away from you because these new attacks were done with a certain kind of this or that. You can't have them anymore. Yeah, Windex. Somebody made a Windex bomb. We got Windex and vitamin E lotion. So now we got to ban all that. Just and that's the way they function. So I'm just putting it out there. And if it doesn't happen, you can say, huh, Dutch, you're a big fool. Well, okay. But you got to realize there are probably people in the intelligence agencies that are not part of the New World Order that are going to do everything they can to thwart something like this. And the reason that we haven't had another 9/11 in this country or anywhere else since that happened, I mean, we've had some bad attacks. I'm not going to lie. Mumbai, London bombings, things in Indonesia. I'm not going to belittle those just because they didn't happen in America. But there are people out there trying to do their job. And even on a bigger scale, the Lord is blessing us a little bit. He's given us a time of grace. And maybe his hand is acting in this. You know, you hear about the bombs that don't go off. You hear about the things that are thwarted. But just I'm putting it out there, and if nothing comes of it, then you can just say, you know, big dummy Dutch, you know, said it. So if you're going to go to Europe in the next couple of days, just have your head on a swivel. Don't go to Euro Disney. Is there still a Euro Disney? I don't even know. Yeah, I'm not even sure. It's kind of weird. But so keep your eyes open. Keep watching the news. If you hear anything, email us, call us. I don't watch TV. We don't have any type of TV here because, you know, ever since they went digital. Yeah, there is a Euro Disney, so don't go to Euro Disney. And if you go to Euro Disney, don't get on the It's a Small World with a guy with a turban on and a big backpack. Just, you know, that's all I'm telling you. Just be alert. You know, America needs more alerts, so you should be alert. I'm trying to fill this first half hour with my monologue, but I've run out of stuff, so I'm going to jump right into it. Now, the source for this initially is from InfoWars, which I'm not a big fan of, but it also came from the World's Prophecy update, and it's posted in a couple different places. Since about August, they've been talking about this Senate bill on the federal level, Senate Bill S-510, which would make it illegal to grow, share, trade, or sell homegrown food. And I posted this on Facebook, and that's where I'm getting, oh, well, it doesn't pertain to me because I'm, you know, so that's where that's at. So we've seen a lot of things. In several states now, they're making it illegal to collect rainwater. And you'll hear, like, even what's going on here, they're taking the ownership of the river away from private landowners here. They want to control food, water, transportation. Food, water, transportation, and utilities. They already control the utilities. So now they're trying to get the food. They're trying to tighten the noose around that. Now, S-510, the Food Safety Modernization Act of 2010, I love that. I'm going to try and say it again because modernization is hard for me to say. S-510, the Food Safety Modernization Act of 2010, may be the most dangerous bill in the history of the U.S. It is our food, it is to our food what the bailout is to our economy. Only we can live without money, right? If accepted, S-510 would preclude the public's right to grow, own, trade, transport, share, feed, and eat each and every food that nature makes. It will become the most offensive authority against the cultivation, trade, and consumption of food and agricultural products of one's choice. It will be unconstitutional and contrary to natural law, or if you like, the will of God. That was Dr. Shiv Chopra. I don't even know who that is, a Canadian health whistleblower. Dr. Shiv Chopra. It sounds like somebody that would be on Oprah, because it rhymes, I guess.
Some comedy name.
Or Shiv. And with a name like Shiv, he's probably very stabby, right? Oh, I just kicked the microphone. Now, it's similar to what India faced and with imposition of the salt tax during British rule. Only S-510 extends control over all food in the U.S., violating the fundamental human right to food, the God-given right to food. Monsanto, who's behind this, says it has no interest in the bill and would not benefit from it. But Monsanto's Michael Taylor, who gave us RBGH and unregulated genetically modified organisms, appears to have designed it and is waiting as an appointed food czar to the FDA. So this guy from Monsanto, Michael Taylor, wants to be the food czar. Now, these czars are unapproved by Congress, remember. To administer the agency, it would create, without judicial review, if it passes, S-510 would give Monsanto unlimited power over all U.S. seeds, food supplements, food and farming industry. You understand that? Is that sinking in? Now, this started back in the 1990s when Bill Clinton introduced the HACCP. Remember that? The Hazardous Analysis Critical Control Points. It was supposed to deal with contamination in the meat industry. Remember back then when we were having the E. coli outbreak? We seemed to still have the same problems. Now it's eggs and peanuts. Clinton's HACCP delighted the offending corporation, a corporate World Trade Organization, meat packers, since it allowed them to inspect themselves, eliminated thousands of local food processors with no history of contamination, and centralized meat into their control. Now, I've seen this firsthand. I work delivery, and there's a place not far from here in Porterville, and it was a meat packing plant. And when I went through, I had to go through security, which isn't that different. But on great big sign says you are entering an international trade controlled zone. And it says international laws pertain. No photography, no removal of items without permission. And I was like, and it was a UN law. Well, it's from the world. It's from the UN. It's to control the food. And you got to remember that Monsanto also promoted that bill to control all the meat. Now, in 2008, Hillary Clinton urged a powerful centralized food safety agency as part of her campaign for president. Her advisor was Mark Penn. Now, he's CEO of Bernson Marsteller. It's a giant PR firm representing Monsanto. See how you connect the dots here? Clinton lost, but Clinton's friends such as Rosa DeLauro, whose husband's firm lists Monsanto as a progressive client and globalization as an area of expertise, introduced the early version of the S-510 bill. It's the same players all the time. I hope you're following along here. Now, S-510 fails on moral, social, economic, political, constitutional, and human survival grounds. It puts all U.S. food and all U.S. farms under Homeland Security and the Department of Defense in the event of contamination or an ill-defined emergency. They always do that. Remember the Kissinger plan? The Kissinger plan said, well, if America is threatened, we must take over everything. That's about the best Kissinger impersonation I can do. I'll have to work on it. But they basically use the wolf in the woods to take control of your lunchbox, control of your children, control of your house and everything. It would end U.S. sovereignty over its own food supply by insisting on compliance with World Trade Organization standards, thus threatening national security. It would end the Uruguay Round Agreement Act of 1994, which puts U.S. sovereignty and U.S. law under perfect protection. Instead, here's what S-510 says. Let me get this right. I want to make sure it's right here. Compliance with international agreements. Nothing in this act or an amendment made by this act shall be construed in a manner inconsistent with the agreement, establishment of the World Trade Organization, or any other treaty or international agreements to which the United States is party. It would allow the government under maritime law to define the introduction of any food into the commerce, even direct sales between individuals, as smuggling. Okay, do you understand that? This law would say that if you're not in agreement with the World Trade Organization agreements, you're a smuggler.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
Even direct sales between individuals would be smuggling. Since under that law, the U.S. is a corporate entity and not a location, entry of food into the U.S. covers food produced anywhere within the landmass of the country and entering into it by virtue of being produced. So bringing crops up out of the ground is smuggling now, if this passes. And as far as I can find out, it hasn't passed yet. And this is one of those things, you know, I'm not going to tell you to call your congressman and tell him to stop this. No, your reaction should be to buy as many seeds as you can and figure out how to, you know, you got to start thinking like the marijuana farmers. How are you going to grow without them detecting it? See, they're honing their skills on tearing up these crops of the marijuana guys and getting the USDA SWAT teams ready so they can come after your backyard garden. It imposes Codex Alimentarius on the U.S., a global system of control over food. It allows the United Nations, World Health Organization, UN Food and Agricultural Organization, the FAO, and the WTO to take control of every food on Earth and remove excess to natural food supplements. You know, it's bizarre history, and its expected impact is limiting access to adequate nutrition while mandating, you know, food and pesticides. You're gonna everything, hormones in food. They're gonna do whatever they want to do to the food. It threatens all life. It threatens those of you that are into the organic food movement. You won't be doing it anymore. All those health shops that get all the vitamins and supplements, now under UN rule. Since the world knows now it needs vitamins to survive, not just to treat illnesses, they're going to go after that. They want you to take part in their medical care. You can't be going to the vitamin shop to heal your own things that get you. It removes the right to clean, store, and thus own seeds in the U.S., putting control of seeds in the hands of Monsanto and other multinationals threatening U.S. security, right? So you can't even own seeds, so you better get them now before they ban them. Let's see here. It'll deal with making sure they tag all the animals with the RFID chips so they can better control who moves what meat where. The UN is participating through the World Health Organization, the FAO, and the WTO, and the World Organization for Animal Health in allowing mass slaughter of even heritage breeds of animals without proof of disease. So if your animals aren't certified by the UN, basically, they're going to do mass killings, culling of your herd. Biodiversity in farm animals is being wiped out to substitute genetically engineered animals on which corporations hold patents. Now, we're going to talk more about this when we come back. I want to see your input. I'm going to go to the room. Are you guys happy about this? I mean, do you guys just live on Big Macs? I mean, I don't see anything in here about Big Macs, right? I'm going to look at the chat room, see what you guys are talking about, or you can contact me through Facebook. Stacy's just livid over here. We'll be back in a minute.
Those beautiful talking heads on my TV. And when I called them to complain, and I asked them to explain, they just said that it proves that you're not in the groove of the new majority. Yeah, sure. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense a hypocrisy? As they call it, democracy. Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Now they've got microwaves and laser beams and rays to look inside your dreams and satellites that can see your DVDs. They got chips that fit inside your head that'll make you think their thoughts and slip, and drugs that'll make you do just as they please. And to make things even more serious, they got strains of new bacteria that are surely to cause some unknown new disease. And that's why we got fear and high anxiety and paranoid perplexity and the gradual loss of all our liberties. And as they try to bring us all down, they might leave us with a frown. They might even be the source of all the rumors in this town. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense a hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Our mail and all our incoming phone calls to the Central Intelligence Agency.
We'll just hope and pray someday they'll see that you and me are not the enemy. No, do we believe in cult theology? And as their police try to bust us, we'll keep trying to find some justice, though it's hidden behind a wall of masonry. We'll keep working out our salvation with the feeling of fear and trembling, hoping and praying someday the truth might set us all free. That just 'cause the media won't respond don't mean there's nothing going on. And brother, what'll you do if there's something to all the words inside this song? Well, you can say that I'm wild-eyed, that all my fears are unjustified, or that I'm totally mystified by a man who's crucified. But just between you and me, what hung him up on that tree? It was all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. It's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Believe me.
It's the third time I've said that. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
You people have done everything in the world to me.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
New world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Oh, give me that fat cat, fancy lip wiggling.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is, Lou. Fat cat, fancy lip wiggling. Because that's all it is. It's just words. What are they going to do when they come to your house and either you're not there because you knew they were coming, but the entire community wraps up around them, and if they're smart, they leave, and if they don't leave, they still try to take your seeds. You do something fun. You do something really fun to them. Wow, why am I feel quieter in my headset today. Okay, I'm reading what's in the chat room. That would be funny. Old Nicky's being arraigned in Department 10. On what? How did he get arraigned? What did he do? Share with me, please. I want to know more. Anyway, we're talking about Senate Bill 510, S-510. I want you to Google it. Don't take my word for it. I want you guys to look at it yourself. Be prepared. They want to regulate your food. They want to regulate everything you do. And I don't even need to read the bill anymore. I think you guys are well incensed about it. I'm looking. I haven't seen anything more on Facebook, I don't think. No, nobody's sending me anything on Facebook. But it comes down to the central thing. Somebody in the chat room, I think Melody said, work on your community. Because as a nation, and this is my philosophy, is done. Done. This nation is over. People don't like hearing that. But the only hope for us is to rebuild in smaller sections, and community is the way to do it. But you still have to have a knowledge base of what those idiots in Washington and the people at the UN are going to try to do so that you can prepare yourself. Thank you. Thank you, MGB. MBG. MGB. It's like a midget car. MGB. MBG. I look forward to seeing that in the email tonight. But we have to keep watching them. Just because we've receded into the hills and we've camouflaged ourselves, we have to keep an eye on them and see what they're going to do next. We have to stay one or two moves ahead of them. I mean, you should be preparing long storage food and seeds and all that kind of stuff. Even we're behind the curve on that. We're hoping after the next conference we'll make enough money selling stuff to the participants that we can go out and buy some long storage seeds and a few things that we need here just to be wise in preparation. But you've also got to realize that the time's going to come. The time is going to come when you're going to have to shoot back. I know people don't like to talk about that. You go to Alex Jones, he doesn't want to hear it. You go to a lot of places other than maybe Liberty Tree Radio, they don't want to hear it. You've got to get in the mindset that they're coming to kill you. They may be doing it slowly by taking and controlling your food, but the ultimate goal is to kill you. To work you like a dog as a slave, work you worse than a dog as a slave, and kill you and take your children if they're all, you know, at all feasibly trainable so that they can make them minions. Until you realize that, all the court maneuvering, all the memorization of constitutional law and international codes and commerce and all that is only delaying the inevitable. Now, I don't denounce the people that do that stuff, but they've got to realize there's another side of the coin. That is not how we're going to win the ultimate victory. It's like you're trapped in an outhouse with a snake. You can negotiate all you want, but eventually he's going to bite you. So the only way you're going to do it is either to get out of the outhouse or find a way to cut the head off. What would that be? That's not a parable.
Dutchism.
Would that be a Dutchism? Let's call it a Dutchism. To deny that that's what the end result of this is going to be is just fooling ourselves. Now, if we can use delaying actions in the courts to gain strength, fine, I'm all for that. It's like we have a personal thing here. Stacy's dealing with some land back in West Virginia that's being abated, and it's just back and forth. It's been going on for 3 years now?
No.
2 years? 2 years? It's just like, yeah, at least as long as you've known me, yeah. It's just been a nightmare. Back and forth, back and forth. And when we call their lawyer, oh, I can't talk to you without your lawyer. Well, just tell me what this piece of paper means. It's all voodoo. As long as we fight the good fight, as Scotty put in the chat room there, Scotty 38, that's true. We've got to remember why we're fighting and who we're fighting for. We follow a just and righteous God. Let's get God back into this. No king but King Jesus. And I have no fear. I'm not worried about how many bullets they have, how many tanks they have. I don't trust in chariots or horses. I trust in the Lord our God only. It's funny, I made a comment on yesterday's show. I don't even have a main battle rifle anymore. Mine's messing up, and I'm trying to fix it and everything. And then immediately God answers it by somebody saying, hey, I can help you out. I know how to take care of that. And the Lord answers every prayer we have here. We may not get the $350 we're asking for, but we are getting donations. The Lord knows exactly what we need on a personal level. He knows what we need on a family level. He knows what we need on a community, state, and national and global level. He knows exactly what's right for us. But we have to be ready to show up when He makes the call. Now, every one of us has shortcomings in our lives. Every one of us has, you know, we are carrying our own luggage with us. But we have to do the best every day that we get up and try a little better than the day before. And I believe that we're in a period of grace, and I keep saying this because I want this to sink in. We're in a period of grace. The reason we're having this conference is that there are people out there. We've got, and I'm going to make the announcement. The bad news is I'm not going to be doing the weapons demonstration. I'm not going to be running it. But the good news is because we're bringing in Magic Serbiak from ATAC Academy, who's going to do it because he's decided to come to our conference again. He came last year, right? Or the year before. Can't remember. This time we're hoping he brings his family. The man is a Christian. He's also a militant, obviously. He wouldn't be our trainer. But the Lord is making connections in this time with other people. We're finding people that are great patriots, great survivalists, but they're not Christians, but now they're starting to turn. And if we can help lead them to the Lord or be the reflection that they needed or be the testimony that they needed, that's why we're in the time we're in now. There are people out there that still need to be reached. Not a whole lot. Like I tell you all the time, I'm done with the sheep. I am so done with the libtards. I'm so done with the hippies. I'm so done with the enemy. They say, love your enemy. I love them so much, I'm willing to just let them go and turn them over to their idols. That's what I'm willing to do. Because if the Lord wants me to convert a hippie, okay, the hippie will come here. Let's see. MBG says, I talked to a friend about getting equipment, which he gets in mass quantities for very little, and he's interested in helping you get the equipment we need. Oh, cool. Yeah, put me in touch with him. We're not above taking handouts. We've got our new little soundboard here. We'll hook the phone up again. It's probably funny today. It's probably the one day everybody wants to call. Phone hasn't rung, but we don't have a way to hook it up. We could always have Lou just hold the microphone to it, and I could yell real loud. Would you be willing to do that, Lou?
A megaphone.
Yeah, just get a megaphone. Get outside your house and yell at me. I'll stick my head out the window and see if I can hear you. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I'm getting I'm getting some info. Let's see here. People are just liking what I'm talking about, that I'm on the air. Thank you. Thank you for liking that I'm on the air. I appreciate that. I'm glad you like that I like that I'm on the air and that we're talking about this. Let's see here. Let me go back to my email and find something else to gab it about. I mean, this is just one more thing. This isn't the straw that breaks the camel's back, them regulating the food, them regulating gold, them regulating your health insurance. They're all just little attacks and chipping away at your liberty. And, I'm going the wrong way. Boy, man. Where is it here? Most of the things, people send me videos. I can't watch them. I apologize, but I'm not able to watch videos here because it uses up too much bandwidth. Oh, here's one that I like. If it's someone that I think it is, hopefully it's not the video. It's people are sending stuff in while I'm here. And maybe this will fit. Make sure I'm not reading something here that's obscene. Okay, yeah, this kind of fits what I'm saying here. This is somebody saying, if Patton were alive today, this is what he would have said. To all those whining, panty-waisted, pathetic citizens, it's time for a little refresher course on exactly why we Americans occasionally have to fight wars to keep this nation great. Da-da-da. So if you can tear yourself away from your reality TV and your Starbucks for more than a minute, pull your head out of your butt and listen up. I'm using words that are, you know... I like this. Abu Ghraib is not was not torture or an atrocity. And he's showing guys getting their heads cut off. And yeah, you got to realize that just because I say that Islam is, you know, was not solely responsible for 9/11 doesn't mean they're not our enemy. I like this. I do like Patton, and some people don't consider Patton one of the great men of faith because he was loudmouthed and vulgar and slap happy. But when time came for him to rescue people, and the blizzard was going, and he had to move his army farther than anyone had ever moved an army in history. What did he do? He turned to the Lord. He asked his chaplain to write a prayer, and the storm cleared, and he moved, and he rescued the men at Bastogne, the airborne unit that was about to be destroyed there because they wouldn't surrender. There are great men throughout history, generals, military leaders, not just preachers and prophets and politicos that have stood up for liberty. So yeah, we got to remember sometime that there are generals that will lead us. There are martial leaders out there. George Washington was a great man of the Lord. He didn't hide, behind it. Yeah, I said Minuteman sent that to you. Yes, you did. It's awesome that there are men of warfare that are godly too, and we can follow their examples. Do you think that Stonewall Jackson, when the North invaded the South, was thinking about taking them to court? Do you think that Robert E. Lee was going, well, you know, let's just try another letter? Even the founders, they had tried year after year to get the king to stop breaking the law. You know, violating the Magna Carta, violating all the just common law. Eventually the time comes when you have to stop talking and you have to pick up the weapon. What are you banging on over there? Mm-hmm. You're banging on microphones. What was that? Huh? You sneaky? You being sneaky? What are you doing? What are you getting here? Show me your hands. Make sure you're not coming at me. Little Cato over here. And I think that's the one big holdback for a lot of so-called Christians in America. They just can't palate that you can put the word militant after Christian or involve warfare with Christian attitudes. When I can think of, you know, it is no less loving for a Christian soldier, whether in uniform or in a militia, to risk his life to stop tyranny so that others may be free. No greater love hath a man than to lay down his life for another. That's the prime example there. To do it knowingly and willingly and not being, you know, oh, I'm a policeman, a fireman, and being paid for it. Because I guarantee you, a lot of the militia guys during the Revolution weren't paid very well, if at all, because of the economy of the time and the promises of foreign nations to help out with the battles. A lot of militia guys went home to nothing. Their farms were burned, their families killed, their stock run off or confiscated by the king and long since used up. But yet they stood and fought anyway. We don't have that attitude today. We don't. Not in the numbers that we did. You know, we talk about the 3% rule. Okay, so we have Visalia down the hill, 100,000 people. 100,000 people. So if 3% of that population cared about liberty, we would have 300 people here every Sunday at church. Because they know about the church. It's been in the newspaper for 30, 40 years. You know, you talk to, oh yeah, I know about that church. Bunch of militant guys up there. Bunch of militant Christians fighting, you know, the government and all that. So we're nowhere near 3%. A lot of people give lip service to being patriots. You got that whole phony Tea Party movement. You got Glenn Beck out there, you know, getting all frothy. I just don't trust any of them. And the reason I don't trust Glenn Beck, and I need to get on that because people are sending me a lot of emails. Like, why don't you like Glenn Beck? Why don't you play some of his sound bites? One reason. Rupert Murdoch owns him. Rupert Murdoch owns Fox News.
That's a Glenn Beck soundboard.
Why don't you bring that up? He's a globalist. He's a New World Order guy. He owns Fox News. He owns Sky News. Skynet. For those of you that are Terminator fans. And he is not going to allow... That's why I don't... Everybody, oh, Fox News says this. Fox News says that. It's owned by a liberal globalist. He's married to a Chi-Com. I would trust him no sooner than I would trust Ted Turner. And I don't trust Ted Turner. And everybody's like, CNN sucks. All he did is market a so-called right-wing news to get you people to watch that love Fox News. Any show on Fox News, it's a call-in show. Go ahead, call it up and start talking to him about the truth about Waco. Start talking about Ruby Ridge. They don't want to hear it because they don't want to tell the truth. I use that as my litmus test for a radio show or entertainer or somebody that claims to be part of the Patriot movement. If they don't understand the evil that the government does, if they think that, oh, it would just all be better if we just had a Republican in office, I don't want anything to do with them.
You're exactly right.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad he's...
You're right.
I'm glad he agrees with me. What else do you got? What else you got? You got anything else? Be careful.
Congratulations. You won.
What?
I don't know what that is. They're playing the ads on the radio.
What happened to Joe the Plumber?
Joe the Plumber. Yeah, he got chewed up by the media. That's what happened to Joe the Plumber.
Did you believe him?
But I am not excited at one bit about anything that happens in mainstream media. I'm not excited about somebody winning, you know, a nomination. Yeah, sure, it's great that some fat cat Republican gets pushed out. What's going to change? I guarantee you, if you know, what somebody said on the phone to me today, if the Schumer doesn't hit the fan in the next 6 months, when we have that election in November and all these, you know, radical, rogue, Ronin, you know, conservatives get in there, 6 months after that, everything's going to be the same.
There should be a revolution every 25 years in this country.
But see, he's not saying that stuff anymore. You listen to Glenn.
I should be in prison.
You listen to Glenn Beck now. He's saying, "Oh, we have to talk. We have to moderate our anger. We have to focus it. We have to get involved in the system."
I cry like a little girl.
Now, maybe in the beginning he wanted to be violent and then take back America. Not anymore, because they yanked on his choke chain. So everyone keeps sending me the Glenn Beck stuff. I probably won't use it because I just don't think he's a friend. I like the stuff he does on history. You know, every Friday he does something on Founding Fathers. That's pretty cool. But I think it was last Friday he did this show on Gandhi, Jesus Christ, Martin Luther King, and who was the other one? Can't remember. Who?
I don't know.
I can't remember. But he made them all sound like the same guy. So, oh, these were great philosophers. Jesus Christ is not a philosopher. And to put him grouped with even Martin Luther King and Gandhi, I can't remember who the other one was, it'll come to me, was a disservice to his so-called Christianity.
Nincompoop.
Yeah. So to see him generalizing the Messiah in that way shows to me that he doesn't get it. He doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. And I still remember back when he had a radio show and he'd hang up on me when I'd call up with my... He's, you know, the, oh, it's the tinfoil hat guy. It's the conspiracy guy.
Yes.
I used to hang up on me because I'd call. I'd use phony names and voices to get on his show and then he'd kick me off. And they'd dump me, you know, on the delay. He got to his little catbird seat where he is, where he's getting good pay. And he crafted himself a nice little niche because he figured out how to... And think about it. Even you listen to Rush Limbaugh today. Even they're starting to get a little radical because they know it'll get people to listen, but they're not going to cross that line. They're not going to be like Mark Kornke or anybody else on Liberty Tree Radio or any of the other Patriot groups out there that are doing this.
No.
Patriot radio shows. They're not. I mean, I probably push it too far sometimes. I get mad. I don't always speak so wisely when I'm reading these articles about how they're coming in to take control, but my goal is to motivate you and make sure that you take seriously the threat, not to sell you soap. You know, not to make sure that you show up at my rally and buy my T-shirts. We went to InfoWars here today to look at some stuff. It's nothing but ads. You know, to buy all kinds of stuff. You know, and there's nothing wrong with free market. You know, trust me, I don't mind that at all. You know, but it's just it's funny to me. You know, Patriots, PAYTRIOTS, Patriots. The ones that last are the ones that aren't making a fortune on it. How long has Mark Kornke been doing it? You know, and I'm not doing it to, you know, I'm not being a sycophant here because we're not on their network yet, but I hope you're getting my point when it comes to Glenn Beck. I try not to watch Fox News at all. I try to get my information from people who are either there involved in it or, you know, reading between the lines. So, you know, I read the AP, I read all that stuff. And I do my very best. Don't yawn. To make certain that I'm one of those guys that when I see somebody yawn, I start to yawn, and Stacy just yawns. Is my show boring you? Yeah, we are. We worked hard today. We did a lot of stuff.
Listen.
Little known republic in Louisiana celebrates 200 years. Okay, I'm going to read this one. Yeah, oh, I like that. Obama is blaming himself that 80% of America doesn't want forced down our throat health care. Well, I don't know why he's doing that. Maybe just a publicity stunt, but of course it's his fault. You know, he brought it in, and it's not that we just don't like the salesman. The product is distasteful, and as soon as he remembers that. Okay, let's see. Little-known republic in Louisiana celebrates 200 years. While Texans are fiercely proud of their state was once its own republic, and California celebrates the same former status on its flag. Yeah, 22 days we were a republic. Relatively few Louisianians know that a group of their forebears overthrew Spanish rule to carve out a tiny independent nation 200 years ago. With the bicentennial coming up Thursday, historians and descendants of the rebels, although they say rebels, the freedom fighters, are hoping to change that. It's the most dramatic event in Louisiana history that has been so little recognized, says Sam Hyde, director of the Center for Southeast Louisiana Studies at Southeastern Louisiana University. We have been lost to the Cajuns and to the debauchery of New Orleans, but it is a unique event that had a lasting effect on this area and others. It's early morning hours of September 23rd, 1810. 75 armed freedom fighters slipped into the Spanish fort at Baton Rouge, and in what is described as a sharp and bloody firefight, subdued the garrison. They lowered the Spanish flag and raised the Bonnie Blue flag, a single white star on a blue field. Amen. That had been adopted for the new nation they called West Florida. 3 days later, the freedom fighters signed a Declaration of Independence and set up a government of the new nation that historians say included about 4,000 people. The Republic was one of three nations that joined with the United States as it expanded west during the 19th century. The others were the Republic of Texas and California. Huge mistakes. Huge mistakes. Why did they go in with the corrupt United States? Now, West Florida achieved its goal. Annexation by the United States 74 days after independence. And archivist Betty Tucker of Zachary, Louisiana, said this. Historians generally agree the Republic included eight Louisiana parishes, still known as the Florida parishes, and those completed what came became the state of Louisiana in 1812. There were English-speaking people, several were Tories, and they were sick of Spain. Tucker said the freedom fighters, who had to be Catholic under the Spanish, they had no rights to vote unless they were Spanish. They were planning to join the United States from when they started their secret meetings in 1805. See, so it took 5 years. 5 years for them to take a small Spanish fort. How much longer do we have to prepare? Now, the freedom fighters also had originally claimed all Spanish territory extending east through Mississippi and to the Perdido River, which separates Alabama and Florida. But their ambitious attempt to seize Mobile, Alabama failed, and Hyde said people living in those areas outside Louisiana never actively rebelled. Now, this is kind of weird here because this says 1810. Louisiana Purchase was 1803, so we hadn't even taken power over it. We paid for it, but we hadn't taken power over it. Now, on Thursday, ceremonies marking the 200th anniversary of the revolt will be held at Old Fort San Carlos in Baton Rouge, and a flag raising is set at the St. Tammany Parish Courthouse in Covington. Now, on January 10th, 2011, the bicentennial of the annexation of West Florida... What is that?
Is it song?
It's comforting.
Where are you playing it? Oh, okay. You're playing a song that has voice on it. We're getting ready for a break here. When I come back, we're going to talk more about this. I love history. Thank you for sending this in. My little buddy over there by the Navy base. We'll talk more about this, about how Louisiana became an independent nation and fortunately a state.
When someone makes a move of which we don't approve, who is it that always intervenes? UN and OAS. They have their place, I guess. But first, send the Marines. We'll send them all we've got. John Wayne and Randolph Scott. Remember those exciting fighting scenes. To the shores of Tripoli, but not to Mississippi. What do? We send the Marines. For might makes right. Until they've seen the light, they've got to be protected. All their rights respected, till somebody we like can be elected. Members of the Corps all hate the thought of war. They'd rather kill them off by peaceful means. Stop calling it aggression. Ooh, we hate that expression. We only want the world to know that we support the status quo. They love us everywhere we go. So when in doubt, send the Marines.
I'd like to dedicate that song to President Johnson, who unfortunately could not be with us tonight.
Guys.
in the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
The government is the
problem.
An emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Bury your food and grab your cash. The computers are going down.
I like that one. Is there any way we can sample that one and save it, Lou? That, of course, was... what's his name again? What's his name?
Bill O'Reilly.
That's not Bill O'Reilly.
George Soros.
No, it's not George Soros. Who is that?
Hamilton.
Who is it, Lou?
Thomas Paine.
No, I need to know who said that.
Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck. That was funny. Yeah, we may not be on Liberty Tree Radio today, but that's okay. We'll pretend we are. We'd like to welcome all of our Liberty Tree Radio listeners. We'd like to welcome all of our Finger Lakes region of New York listeners on CB Channel 2. The folks up there, Stacy says hello to you. The folks up on Facebook, the people on MySpace, the people on You Broadcast, the people who download at night, as I refer to them, the pod people. I get most of my email from the pod people, actually, because they have more time at 2 in the morning when they get off of their shift work at the plant, you know, making widgets for the man, and they can sit down and vent to me, and I don't mind that. I like that a lot. Got a lot of listeners in Michigan, so I assume that's Liberty Tree Radio. I get a lot of emails from folks in Michigan telling me we should move there. Whew, long way to go. Who knows where the Lord's going to lead us. But as for now, we're here in Central California coming to you live. I got to tell everybody that since it's been a new hour. Also want to remind you that even though I'm the blithering idiot on the microphone and I am coming to you from the property of the church at Kauia, and I am, in fact, in a church building, my views that I express are not the views of the church, the pastor, the parishioners, the lady who cleans the church, the guy who mows the lawn, or even Lewis to my left. They are my views only. I am Dutch Jones, and I do not exist. It is a nom de guerre. There is no Dutch Jones. It is merely a figment of my own blithering imagination.
Like the Dread Pirate Roberts?
Yeah, like the Dread Pirate Roberts.
His imagination is scary.
My imagination is scary. So don't go sending stuff to the pastor. We got one or two people that get mad at me. One of them is named Nicholas. He gets all crybaby and sends emails. Do you know what he said on the radio? Well, the pastor doesn't care. He just shows it to me. We both point at the email and laugh. Period. So stop doing it. You got a problem with me, email me, or if you got the guts, come up here. You know where we are. and talk to me face to face. I'll debate anyone. If you get stupid, my wife will sneak up on you with a board with a nail in it, and it'll be all over but digging the hole. So I am Dutch Jones, and I'd like to share with you a militant Christian worldview. I am a Christian. I'm a militant. I'm a patriot. I just want to be left alone, but I also believe that I have a God-given duty to defend the meek, the weak, the downtrodden, and those incapable of defending themselves, unless, of course, they willfully enslave themselves. They are given up to the enemy. They are followers of Satan and the New World Order and Obongo and the White House. We are not a racially oriented show. I get a few emails every once in a while. You guys sound like a bunch of racists. We hate anybody that's stupid regardless of their color. There, let's put it that way. I hate far more white people than I do people of color. Let's say people of color. I can tell you that my worst enemies are all white. So I am not a racist. So if I say Obongo or call him the commander in chimp, I said the same thing about George Bush, because he looked like a monkey too, with those ears and that face. So commander in chimp is not a racial slur. It is a descriptive way of putting forth my displeasure with our leadership. So I would have probably called McCain the commander in chimp or something, you know. So you guys get over yourselves. Stop sending me the mail. I could care less. And on the other side of it, if you're a Nazi and you're listening to this, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your computer, take it outside, put it in your driveway, and run over it. Nazis don't get to listen to me. I am not a Nazi. I don't support the Nazis. I don't like socialists of any kind. We have a socialist in the White House. We do not like communists, socialists, Fabian socialists, national socialists, anything to deal that deals with that is counter to God-given liberty. We're against it. We're not for it. So you're not going to convert me. Stop sending me, documentaries on how Hitler was right and all that. If I saw Hitler in front of me today, I would probably shoot him in the face, unless I had another more painful way to dispatch him. But on the other side of it, I'm not a follower of Zog either. But that doesn't make me a racist. That just makes me not wanting to follow any tyrants. I'm against all supremacy. Now, I'm having to say that, and I'm hoping that Liberty Tree Radio is carrying it, because I think that a lot of it's coming from over there. People that are listening to me for the first time on Liberty Tree Radio go, wow, this guy sounds kind of weird. But I just wanted to make sure that I got that out there. It's not going to have any effect on me if you keep sending them. If I see the same address, I just delete them. I'm not going to argue with you. I don't cast pearls before swine. And I also turn people over to their idols. I just let them worship what they want. So when I use terms like retard, faggot, queer, whatever, it's because I think they're funny. And I dislike my enemy to the point where I'm willing to fight against my enemy. I'm done being polite and gentle to people that don't deserve politeness or gentleness.
Faggot.
Who said that? Was that Glenn Beck saying faggot?
Yeah.
Glenn Beck actually said faggot? Say it again.
You're exactly right, faggot. Faggot.
I didn't know Glenn Beck said faggot. I'm actually surprised
Idiot.
At that. I'm actually taken aback that he would say that. I'm surprised he didn't take him off the air. It must have been from his radio show or something. So I can't see Fox letting him use that kind of verbiage. Anyway, folks, I want to remind you that today is Wednesday, so we are out of here at the close of business in about 51 minutes. We will not answer the phone. We will not pass go. We will not collect $200. We go straight into the church. Tonight we're watching a nice little documentary on a cult known as the Jehovah's Witnesses. And if I learn anything, I will share it with you tomorrow. I always like it when the Jehovah's Witnesses come by. I always invite them in and keep them real busy asking them stupid questions. And when they ask if I'm interested in coming to their little temple or hall, I go, oh no, I was just keeping you busy so my neighbors wouldn't be bothered by you. And that was a tradition I had even before I was a Christian. I would just make up my own religion and tell them what it was and make them try and debate me.
Pastafarianism.
Yeah, Lou's decided to be a Pastafarian. I don't know if I've mentioned that on the air. He's really getting into this Pastafarian. He worships the great spaghetti monster in the sky. And what was it? What was the ramen thing you made up?
Ramen.
Ramen. That's what he says instead of amen after his prayers. He's really into pasta now. And it's
so
pretty much harmless. It's so good. What's your favorite pasta, Lou? Just spaghetti, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, just regular spaghetti.
That's the only pasta I know.
Not pasta vajoule.
I don't know what that is.
Not penny pasta.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, we're gonna have pesto, angel hair. We're gonna have to expand your horizons. I gotta start feeding you little shells. Well, macaroni and cheese. You like macaroni and cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pasta. So you like macaroni. So you're more of a traditional pastafari, just like spaghetti. Yeah. You like ramen. I know that.
Yeah.
So there you go. I feed my kid carbohydrates. It'll probably clog his arteries, but at least he's got a religion, right? You know, it could be worse. He could be a Catholic. I'm kidding. It's not like he works for Jews. I'm kidding. Oh, life's too short to be upset by funny jokes, even if they're slightly insulting. You got to have a sense of humor in this world, or you're going to get chewed up alive worrying about it. You get an ulcer. See, that's the difference between me and a lot of people. I don't get all upset about everything. I don't get caught up about the hang-ups or the frill or the dressings. All I care about is the core. You know, if somebody is a little rough around the edges, but he's got a good heart and he's doing the right thing, that's fine by me. You know?
What kind of nut job am I? Can you please tell me?
Well, you're exactly the kind of nut job I think you are. But I'm very forgiving. I'll give people three chances, and once they violate that, I don't want anything to do with them. I'll be polite to them, and I'll move on, and you know, I'll nod at them if I see them in church or something. But there's too much against us to be creating our own stupidity amongst ourselves. And I think as a movement, as children of God, we've got to be a little more forgiving of the minor differences. It seems like it's flip-flop. People will excuse the fact that somebody's a sodomite, a bank robber, a drug addict, you know, and their life is just crap and not want to do anything about it, as long as, you know, they don't bring it into the church. But if somebody comes into church wearing the wrong color T-shirt or wears shorts one day to church and they get all upset about it.
A Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, we have a lot of guys that wear Hawaiian shirts. Our church doesn't get like that. There are people in our church who get like that, but our church as a whole doesn't. Every church I've ever been to, they've been that way. I've been in militia groups or been recruited for militia groups that if you don't have the exact same high-speed gear as them, you can't play with them. You know, if you don't have Black Hawk everything or, what was the stuff, 5.11, yeah. If you don't have the best rifle that you have to mortgage your house to get, you can't play with them. You show up in some Vietnam-era surplus BDUs and an SKS and a World War II steel pot, they're like, they make fun of you. This elitist attitude has to get out of this movement, whatever you want to call it, the freedom movement, the patriot movement, whatever it is. This elitist attitude has to get out of it. And that's one of the problems that I have with people that have been doing it a real long time. I'm talking about people that it's been a lifetime for them, and they're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. They look down upon people who are just getting into it for the first couple of years, you know, and they may be wrong about a few things. They you know, their big thing may just be 9/11 was an inside job, and that's it. But you got to look at those things as opportunities to reach out to them. And when we recruit these people, we have to figure out that not everybody's high speed. Not everybody's got a ton of training. I mean, when they make a few mistakes that are not safety oriented, don't jump all over them. Don't send them away. But if they continually make the same habitual mistakes, you know, sweeping people with guns and all that kind of stuff, negligent discharge on the range, then maybe it's time to cut them loose. There are some people that just aren't trainable in manual arm stuff. So you find something else for them to do. But the other problem that I have is, I'm not even sure how to word this or where I want to go with this. But we have some people that are just such safety Nazis that have never been in a gunfight, that have no concept of what really is going on when the lead starts flying. If you've disassembled your weapon and you're holding the barrel and you point it at somebody and they go nuts, hey, stop pointing that barrel. When four guys have cleared your weapon and you've got the bolt out of it and you're doing, you know, manual count of arms, I know what you're saying, you know, but you should always train safety. But I'm here to tell you that the minute you get into combat, muzzle awareness goes out the window because you're all fighting the same oncoming enemy. So one of the things that I'm getting now is, like, if I carry in a shoulder holster and my weapon's pointing backwards, people freak out if they have to sit behind me. I know of no firearm that is manufactured safely that you should own. If it's not manufactured safely, you shouldn't own it. If it's in old condition, that will go off without a human brain telling their hands or feet or whatever to manipulate that weapon. Throw it on the ground, smack it. What?
Feet.
Feet. You could fire a gun with your feet, Luke. We'll have to get into they used to do that all the time.
Okay.
I'll show you. Being over-paranoid about that stuff is going to limit your training. If you're in a battle and you're worried about, well, geez, I can't get from point A to point B to point C without sweeping my buddies and still return fire in an intelligent manner, you're not going to be any good. So now one of the big things, one of our listeners, Chuck, who listens on the downloads, he sent me this nut and fancy video where this guy mounts his pistol on his chest and it points to his left because he's right-handed, be the other way, where the barrel is horizontal. So like right now, if I were left-handed, I'd be pointing right at Stacy. If I were right-handed, and people were criticizing this video that I saw. They're, oh, that's unsafe, that's unsafe. I have never seen a pistol go off without somebody pulling the trigger. Other than someone who took an old revolver and throwing it on the ground, and when the hammer hits the ground, it goes off. And you shouldn't have a pistol like that being used for a tactical pistol anyway. That should be hanging on a wall somewhere and unloaded if it doesn't have an actual safety on it. I can hit the pistol on my hip right now, a Ruger P90 with the safety on. I can hit the hammer with a hammer, and it's not going to go off because there's a rolling block that goes out of the way, that takes the firing pin out of the way. So if my finger is off that trigger, because your biggest safety is in your brain, all these mechanisms are just fail-safes. Your finger and your brain telling your finger to do this, and you can't see it at home,